Good morning. Good morning. Make sure you're awake and we're not singing to a cemetery here. Good to see everybody, and we're glad that you've chosen to come and be part of our worship service. If you're visiting, consider yourself our special guest, and we hope that we all leave blessed in the Lord today. We're looking forward to the service, and we're being prayerful for the service. And we've known for some time that we would be trying to lead music the last 2 days and the last 2 Sundays. But I always try to seek inspiration, Brother Ricky, whether I'm trying to preach or attempting to preach or even singing. And there was a single word came to me the other day. And it was after I had we'd visited Mom. And my mother is elderly, and she's at a point where she can't physically go and stay by herself, but she calls that home, Brother Tom. She says, I want to go home. But once in a while, she'll say, I'm longing to go home. And that's understood that she's ready to go to the other side. Let's sing about home today. Let's start with number 82 in this book. Heaven's Jubilee, number 82. Their voices are in full fetter this morning. Y'all sounding so good. All right, let's go forward a few pages to number 144. Eyes have not seen. 144.
Thank you.
Let's do a couple of verses. Well, it's only two verses in it. Number 130. 130.
Appreciate the good singing this morning. Glad to see the good number out this morning. With Do-Re-Mi going on, I never know exactly how many we're going to have while it's going on, but we have a good number today, and we're thankful for each and every one that's made your way out to the service today. We hope and pray that you'll get a blessing out of being in the service today. Glad to have our visitors with us. As always, we're thankful for each and every one that's come out this way on that. I'll give a good report on Do-Re-Mi. They've been blessed with good singing, of course. They've been blessed to see people seeking the Lord during the devotional time or preaching time, whichever one you want to call it. My understanding, some of the nights it was devotional, but some nights it was preaching. And that was good. And when they did, the one night that I did get to attend was Thursday night, and there was eight or nine, I think, probably, that were seeking the Lord. Didn't see anybody saved, but I guess it was Tuesday night when they had about five to get saved. And we are thankful for that good number. Always thankful to hear about people being saved by the grace of God, and it's wonderful that we get to see them be blessed in such a way as that. And we just need to keep praying that the Spirit of the Lord will keep working on the hearts. Somebody said this morning that when that you're in a group like that and you're singing about Jesus, and then if somebody will talk about Jesus, and then you have the opportunity to hear a little bit of preaching about it, the Lord really starts working on hearts is what it does. And because of that, it just really starts to dwell upon the young people. And what I love to see is young people talking to their friends, talking to them about Jesus. And I saw one of our young ones do that other night, and it had an effect, and I was thankful for that. Now, we were blessed to see those that were seeking the Lord, and as far as I know, the ones I saw Thursday night, none of them got saved, and I'll just say some of them are ones that comes in and out of this church building. We want to continue to pray for them, and I want them to know we are praying for them, that they'll be saved. And I hope today is what I hope you'll do. And I always want to make sure you know this altar, these altars are open. Your seat is open to you to pray. And we just want you to get saved more than anything else right now. You can get saved, and then you can do what the Lord would have you to do after that, is what I want you to do. But being saved is the most important thing. We are glad to see each and every one out this morning. We appreciate you coming out to the house of the Lord today. We're going to get on into our service at this time. I'm going to be doing Children's Church again this day. So, kids, if you would, come over here to this side. Come on, kids. Are y'all asleep still? Come on. Y'all gonna come? Oh, come on. All right. Come on up here. I believe I have. We're over here. I swapped sides on it. Haven't got many up here today. I'm sad to see that, but I'm glad you're here. Appreciate y'all coming today for the service today. Are you all feeling well? I know a couple of these got hit with shaving cream pretty good the other day. Was covered. Does that sound like fun to you? I think y'all had fun with it, did you? Oh, it went in her eye. Okay. It's fun to have fun. But there's always rules, right? You know, last week I talked about the Ten Commandments a little bit, and I talked about the commandment that says, thou shalt not steal. And God has a reason for all of those rules, and it's for us to live by, right? Okay. You remember in the Garden of Eden, there was a rule, just one rule, and it was a rule that said what? Anybody can tell me? Nobody wants to talk. All right, the rule was, thou shalt not eat of one tree that's in the midst of the garden. And the idea was, God gave them a rule. Now, I know every time you see somebody give a picture of it or something like that, they'll show it as an apple or something like that, and they'll say, this was what the fruit was. It wasn't necessarily an apple. I don't know what it was. The Bible said it was just a tree of knowledge of good and evil. And that fruit really wasn't sinful. It was just the fact that God said, don't eat of it. Now, if we had a tree out here that basically the fruit on it was poisonous, would you eat of it if we told you that it would make you very sick and might even cause you to die? No, you wouldn't, would you? But man's kind of a stubborn kind of person. You know what it is to be stubborn? Stubborn means to be kind of so much in a way that you think you know better. It won't affect me. Sometimes our parents tells us not to do something, and we think, well, it wouldn't hurt if I do it just once. But there's a thing about when God has told us something to do, He expects us to understand what He says is always true. And so when He gives us a rule, He wants us to go by that rule. Y'all have rules in school? I'm sure you do. Is there any of them that says that you have to raise your hand to speak? Y'all have that rule in school? You do? Okay. All right. Used to, you had to raise your hand if you wanted to go to the bathroom, too. That was a rule. But the idea is we are to obey these rules for a reason, especially God's rules. And those rules says that we should always listen to God and to obey Him. Now, who can tell me what the first commandment is? Can anybody? Now, Miss Heather would be saying, y'all know this. The first rule is to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Okay? Y'all remember that? Love the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength is what he said for you to do. That's the number one rule. Okay? I'll turn you loose with that. Okay. Good job. Thankful for our young ones. Had some that was willing to speak up. I always like it when the kids speak up, and I appreciate them doing that. Sometimes our parents, we kind of like, what are they going to say next? But I appreciate it when our kids help. They help us so much, and I appreciate it so much when they do help. We want to move on into our service. We've got several ones that are sick. Sister Nettie's husband is still down. He's in a rehab facility. I understand there was some problems with him yesterday. I didn't know about it until this morning, but let's be prayerful for him. I got a call from Sister Barbara Higdon that comes. It usually sits right about here. Her test came back well. The last time she was here, she was talking about that. But I want you to remember, she asked that the church remember her. She's still got some things that are coming in, and she just wants us to pray for her. She said she'd pray for our service, so we need to pray for her, is what I want us to do. Anybody else got a prayer request this morning? Let's remember these lost ones. I know I mentioned it earlier. These that are not saved, let's pray that the Lord's conviction will get heavy on them. That it'll be such in such a way that they'll be ready to turn to the Lord right now, is the way I'll say it, just right now. And let's pray that that'll happen today. Anybody else have a prayer request on your heart this morning? Yes. Yes. Let's do remember Joshua. He was one of the ones that was seeking the other night. That was the first time that I know of that he bowed to pray. And so do remember him and along with Lily and the others that prayed the other night. Somebody else? It's good for us to call out the ones we have burdens for. It's good for them to know that we're praying for them. Now, I realize there's some people, I don't want you call me out. But they need to know we're praying for them is what we need to do. So let's do remember them in our prayers. Anybody else have a prayer request? Yeah. Yeah. Do remember Josh in your prayer. Somebody else? I appreciate each and every one being here today. Let's be prayerful one for another. Let's ask the Lord to come in and be in this service today. I hope you'll pray for me today as we go further into this service. Brother Tom, would you please start our prayer? But everybody pray.
While we continue to sing and lift up our voices, let's turn over to page 56. Heaven Has It All, number 56.
Thank you.
soul. Thank you. Let's turn over one page to number 58. Number 58, one of my favorite songs. What a meeting in the air. All right. After I had that impression about home, it hit me this morning that my favorite song has the aspect of home in it. So let's do, if y'all lead singing, you get to pick out the songs you want. My favorite song, let's do two verses of it, that Heavenly Home in 72. It's my favorite, absolute. Thank you.
Bless you.
Thank you, Brother Sam. Thank you, Sister Janice, for the good singing, for the good playing. Thank everybody for the playing and singing that you've been doing. And I hope, pray, you've done got a blessing out of it. Let me ask you, did you get a blessing out of it? Well, if you were one of those that just kind of went, amen, or didn't say anything at all, maybe you didn't really get that much of a blessing out of those songs. I'll ask you, have you ever been out camping or around outside, maybe on a cool night? There was a fire right there. Started feeling a little chill. You want to get warmed up, right? So what you do, you get up a little closer to the fire. Now, what I want to admonish you to do tonight, today, is to move in a little closer to the fire. Move a little closer to the Lord and to His Spirit. If you consider what you saw out of Brother Sam today a blessing, and I do. I want you to know that. That's the Spirit of God moving on a person, that it brings about an emotion in them of joy. Well, you said, well, he was crying. Crying's not joy. There's tears of joy, right? And so it's important for us to allow people to see that we're happy in God. And I'm sorry, but sometimes just a smile is not enough. A frown is definitely not enough. So many times I look out into a congregation and I understand the feeling of sickness. I understand of being tired. I understand those things. But if you've been saved, you've got something. You've got something that's going to carry you to heaven. Have you forgot about that place? Have you forgot about what Jesus did for you? Smile about it, at least. If nothing else, we ought to be just plumb happy to know that you've been saved and to feel those joys and to allow your emotions to show. It's a good thing. I want to say that. I used to know a man. He's passed on now. But he'd laugh out loud when the Lord was blessing him. And it was just a short laugh, but the Lord was blessing him. That was the way he praised God. I've seen people that would just give a little bit of a shout. Some did a big shout. I'll say that much too. Because they was just blessed in the Lord. And then I've seen people just shed tears. Tears of joy. I've done that. And it's a blessing to do that. The Bible is full of emotion. It is. It's full of emotions. And we don't need to suppress those emotions. God gave them to you for a reason. Well, but Mom and Daddy said I wasn't supposed to disrupt service. Spirit wants you to do what God wants you to do. And you allow Him to work in you and you'll get blessed. Okay, that's number one sermon. Wasn't planning on that one. Anybody have anything on your heart this morning, word testimony or anything? Thankful for the blessings of the past week. Thankful that we're able to be back in the house of the Lord. We are having business meeting here in a little while. We want you to keep that in mind today for our service. Afterwards, we'll dismiss, and then we'll come back and have our business meeting. But before that, we want to serve God and worship Him today. Message may be a little bit different. I wished it had to do with home today, and in a sense, it will. But we're going to bring a reading lesson today, and our thought's going to come from the 34th chapter of the book of Psalms. 34th chapter of the book of Psalms. If you want to turn there and read, I want to ask you to pray for me today. I want this message to come from the Lord, not from me. He has blessed me as of late. Somebody made mention last week or a week or so ago that the last several sermons have really been good. It wasn't me, it was the Lord. I told somebody the other day when they mentioned last week's message, and they said, boy, that was really good. And I said, well, it didn't go the way I meant for it to go, but the Lord had a different feeling about it, and so it went entirely different. That's the way I like it, when the Lord just takes it and uses me. So y'all be prayerful today that this message will be straight from the portals of glory. Our thought is coming from the 18th verse, and this is a familiar verse in the Bible of the 34th chapter of the book of Psalms. And the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as of a contrite spirit. Now, that's a verse that I quote quite a bit. And there is a reason for that. And the reason is, that's the condition that we all had to get into before we got saved. If you were not brokenhearted, if you were not in a contrite condition, and Brother Reynolds a few years ago, he said, brethren, make sure you tell them what contrite means. It means crushed. And so I've tried to do that ever since. It means a broken heart and a crushed spirit is what he's talking about. And the idea today is if you want to go home with us someday, you're going to have to get in this condition. There are many people today that wants to suppress these two feelings in individuals, especially people that are coming to the age of seeking God. They do not want anyone to feel bad. They don't want anybody to have a bad feeling in their lives. But we understand that what the Bible is teaching here, there's got to be a time before that you are able to completely trust the Lord that you are going to be in trouble. There's going to be a time when that you will be in a brokenhearted state. Now, I want to define brokenhearted here today before I go any further. It's really, in our minds today, we've heard it on television, in the movies and everything. Well, my heart's broken because so-and-so left me. Our marriage is broken up. Our children have done this and that. And we consider it as being a state of sadness is what we generally think of being brokenhearted. And it is a great deal of that. But I looked up to see what it was considered to be as far as a definition. And it is a person who has given up. Have you ever thought about that? It is a person who has given up and has no hope. Really, that was a state that I was in before that I got saved. And I've heard countless people over the years make the testimony and say it about themselves. I gave up right before I got saved. I had tried everything that I knew to do, and then I just said, Lord, if I'm going to be saved, it's up to you. You know, that is a broken heart right there. It brings about a sadness in each and every one that gets into that condition. It does bring about a certain amount of sadness. Me, personally, I like to see individuals that are shedding tears when they're seeking the Lord. The reason for that is it shows the external sadness of an individual, the external sadness of being brokenhearted. Now, I will say this. A person does not have to be shedding literal tears in order to be saved. I do want to make that clear. But It is a shedding of tears on the inside, is what I would tend to call it. It is a shedding of tears and a great remorse inside of us. First of all, today I want to consider just a few things before we go any further in this broken-hearted state. The reason why it is a broken-hearted state is because, first of all, most of our generation of people, and when I say generation of people, I'm not talking about this day's generation. Actually, it is a lot of this day's people, but it actually runs all the way back through our ancestry in mankind, all the way to the beginning. It is a broken-hearted condition that man has always went through, but it comes from the fact that man cannot do anything themselves about their salvation. I heard a man make a statement earlier this week when he was speaking, and he said in this statement that 98% of the world today, when it comes to salvation, it comes down to the fact of them doing it themselves in some form or fashion. Whether it is doing it themselves by their good works, by their good behavior, or by their ability to obey laws or whatever, that they think that they may be saved. Maybe it is by a particular action. I bring this one out a lot because I see it in the modern day churches today a lot. People consider if they walk into a church house every Sunday morning, and I'm not knocking the fact that they do that, but when they consider that they walk into a church house every Sunday morning, that will make them saved. Some people even go so far to say, well, I'm there every time the doors are open. Some will say, I give all of my money to the cause of God. Some people will even go to the fact of saying, well, I do this, I joined this particular church, I was baptized into that body, I did this and I did that, but this is not what saves individuals. God is looking for a broken heart. And I want to ask you, what is there in a broken heart, an individual saying, I did this or I did that in order that I might reach unto the throne of God and be saved? People, when John the Baptist came onto the scene, he said unto those that came to him that were of the Pharisees, think not to say within yourselves that we have Abraham to our father. There are many individuals today who think just because they were brought up in church, mom and daddy were church members, maybe daddy was a deacon or something in the church. Many even believe because their parents may have been ministers in the church, that is enough for them to be saved. But where is the broken heartness in individuals in that? Actually, that is really more pride is what that comes down to. The pride, the Bible says, God hates a proud look. The Bible tells us that if we humble ourselves and come before God, seeking His face, He will not turn us away. That gets down to the place of being brokenhearted, not being able to save ourselves, not being able to do it within our own mind, our own body, but to rely on something that we cannot see. What did the Scripture tell us in the book of Hebrews? That faith is the substance of things that are not seen. What does that mean? Put in thy faith in the Lord, whom you have not seen, but you are willing to believe that he is there and believe that he will save your soul, is the substance that we're talking about here today. Now, the broken heart and the contrite spirit leads unto this faith. Well, preacher, how does that happen? How does it work that these two things have to come to a place? First of all, a broken heart says, I can't. That takes pride out of the matter. The crushed spirit of the contrite spirit, and let me give you a quick definition here of being crushed. It means to be overwhelmed with emotion. It is a pain or to oppress or to burden, is what the dictionary tells us what being crushed means. And the fact that the Spirit of God dwells or comes to an individual and draws them to him. Jesus said, no man can come unto me except my Father which sent me draw him. Now, the way that he draws them is, first of all, he shows us our shortcomings. He shows us where that we have failed. And by him showing that to us, we have the opportunity to look unto him for that salvation. We are being drawn by his Spirit. And you might say, well, wait a minute, preacher. In this very thought here, are you saying there's just a few chosen to seek God or that he draws? No. The Bible says it is God's will that all men might be saved. He wants everyone to be born unto him. He wants every man, woman, child in this world. And every one of them gets drawn. Really? God's able to draw the person that's over in the deepest part of Africa or maybe down to the deepest part of South America in the places where we consider there's no kind of religion whatsoever. Does God draw them? You better believe he does, because if you'll look at them, every one of them worships something. Yes, they worship something. It might be a bird. It might be the sun. It may be a volcano, as we've seen it in times past. But every man, woman, and child everywhere has a tendency or a part in their mind that says there is a higher power. That is God speaking to them. And what the Bible has told them, except ye believe that Jesus is the Lord, ye shall perish in your sins. Now, each and every one that hears the word of God has an opportunity to be saved, don't they? They have the opportunity to hear the word of God. They have the opportunity that's there. I've told this different times in my ministry about the young man that came to Palm Tree that was of another faith. And what he said in that day was, he said, my brother and I discussed it. And there had to be more to being saved than just what we was taught in my religion. The young lady that told us that she got saved not too long ago, she had heard enough about Christianity that she wanted to find out more about it. And when she came to us and she started hearing the Word of God, she had a desire to know more. And as time went on, she said, I thought, well, I'll go back to my old church and I'll see about it there. And she said, it didn't take long until I realized that there was more that was not the place. I needed to get back to that Baptist church where they were telling me about the salvation. And what we heard that day was she had found the Lord at her home that a couple of weeks before. See, what it was, God was drawing her, first of all, when that she heard about Jesus, thinking there had to be more to this Christianity than what it was, but then going farther, she heard more and then desired to know even more about it, but finally getting down to this point of being brokenhearted and crushed of spirit enough to pray to God. Why did she have to get to that state? Would that not have been enough for her to do it? A lot of people wants to go to John, the first chapter, and the 13th verse, where it says, or 12th verse, I'm in the wrong place here. John, in John 1, is where it says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. You see, that was the power that was extended to them when that they heard the truth and they desired to know more and desired to be saved. So they just went farther than what just receiving the opportunity was. There's people that walks around you each and every day that you extend in some form or fashion, that you extend to them an invitation to the Lord. Did I do that? Yeah, and sometimes you do. Maybe it's a smile. Maybe sometimes you actually say, bless you, or God bless you, or something like that. And it'll create in their hearts and in their minds a drawing power of the Lord. And then it's there in their soul. And because of that, it brings about them an opportunity to go and seek God. It's up to them where they go. It's not up to us to push them or pull them. We ought to be trying our best to make sure they get into our churches to where that they can hear our truth. But the fact of the matter, God's Spirit is drawing them, and if we extend the invitation, then they have received that power to become the children of God. What does the Bible tell us in Ephesians? For by grace are you saved. What? Through? By faith. Through faith are you saved. You see that being able to receive that. What did he say here? That ye have the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. You see, that belief has to get in there. That faith has to get in there. But what brings it about? First of all, as I said earlier, you've got to get to a place where you know that you're a sinner. You can know about Jesus. I've known people over the years. They went to Sunday school. They went to church. They'd even been in our churches and in our Sunday schools. And they was hearing that kind of preaching. And in their minds, that was enough. But it's not enough. You see, it's going farther than just knowing who he is. It's more than that. It's about knowing what he is. And then you've got to get to the place where that you want that forgiveness from him. Oh, forgiveness? What? For what? Are you not a sinner? What made you know you was a sinner? That broken heart and that contrite spirit? That's what brought you into that place. Being to that state of word that you're emotionally know within yourselves, I've failed God. I've not met God. It's been CMA all week. That's what you've seen on the news, haven't you? You see the people that go down there, and their life's goal is to meet blank person that sings country music. Oh, that's all well and good, but what's that going to get them in the long run? Some of them say, well, I'll never wash that hand again. Their soul is what needs to be really washed, right? And because they've been washed in the blood, they can have salvation. But they've got to get to the place where that they know that they're a sinner first. Being in that brokenhearted state, not knowing that they can't do it themselves. Being in that state of being crushed by the very fact of knowing that they can't save themselves, and getting to the place where that they are really at the point where that they want to rely on something. Did you notice I said something? You see, there's a lot of people in the world today, they want to rely on somebody like me. They want to rely on a church house. They want to rely on some other things, you might say. They think that'll be enough. That'll be good enough to get them to heaven. The only path to heaven is through Jesus Christ. Through Him, and Him only is what I want you to understand. It is Him and Him only. You know, many times I think within myself, when that I see people that are seeking the Lord, and I got this way other night, as those kids were seeking the Lord, Lord, is there anything I can do to help them? No. Oh, I can encourage them. I can try to give them some words of wisdom that maybe will help them. But I'm going to be honest with you. And it really does. Brother Dewey's brought this out years ago, Preacher Dewey. He said, I thought that the words that I said to lost individuals were so good, but when it was my little girl up there on the altar, they didn't seem like they was worth anything. I tell you what, I'm like that about any time I'm up there. When I look at them, I just try to follow the impression of God, and I try to say whatever God lays on my heart. And God's got a reason for those things. Don't take this as an excuse not to talk to a sinner. Don't take this as an excuse not to talk to a sinner, because God's got a reason for everything being said and done. But in me, those words, really, they seem very weak. To me, they are weak. But when an individual fully trusts in the Lord, that is the ultimate goal for an individual. All of this works together that a soul would know that they're saved by the grace of God. All of this works together that they might have a home in glory. Now, Brother Sam sang about home just about every song this morning, if not every one of them. And in those songs, he talked about a heavenly home, especially the last one. A place in which that we are longing for. How many of you have ever been to somewhere and you got to a place and you said, boy, I really want to be home. I want my bed, my pillows. I want my chair. I want my place. That's what we're guilty of, right? But as the old man said one time in his testimony, when he thought about this place here, he said, this is not my home. We're just passing through. We have an eternal home to look forward to. And we should want each and every one that we come in contact to find that home place too. We've got to show them Jesus though first. When they hear Jesus, it's going to put a seed in there. When we talk, when somebody else talks about the Lord, it'll cause it to water. It'll be watered. And before long, it'll start to grow within them. And hopefully and prayerfully, they'll stay on the track to where that they'll be brokenhearted and crushed in spirit, to where they'll repent of their sin and truly be saved by the grace of God. That is our heart's desire. That's what we're supposed to pray for. I'll be honest with you. I'm guilty every time that I go down to pray, especially when sinners are seeking Lord. Lord, save this sinner. My prayer is not going to save them, is it? It's not going to be me praying for them. Lord, break their heart. I try to put that in there too. Lord, show them they're a sinner, because that'll bring about that broken heart and contrite spirit to a point to where that they can be saved. Brother Sam, that's going to be our message today. I'm thankful that we're able to be in the house of the Lord today. I'm thankful we're in a place that we can show these sinners about what they need to be saved. I hope that they'll understand today after this message why that they're feeling like they are inside. Why am I so sad? Why am I so troubled at this? Why am I feeling like this? I hope this will help you to understand. It's part of the process of getting you to the place where that you can be saved. All of this is the drawing power of the Lord, and He wants to draw you right into His bosom, is what I say. Remember what I said on the start? If you're cold, I'm talking about the church members, and you want to get warmed up, get up close to the fire. What I'm suggesting to those that are lost and away from God today, I'm suggesting you go toward the fire. The fire is in Jesus and His saving grace. While we stand and sing,
278.